Good evening, everybody. My name is Perry Whalen. I'm an author, publisher here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'd like to welcome you to this call tonight. We're going to be talking with Gail Murphy, who's a Hollywood correspondent, about how to prepare for an interview from the media. What is the best, very best way to do that? But before we get into answering your questions, and we've got a lot of questions here that we've had from y'all tonight, I'd like to introduce Gail. Gail Murphy is a media entrepreneur, media expert, an award-winning Hollywood correspondent, media and presentation coach, speaker, and author of Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. As an award-winning Hollywood correspondent, Murphy specializes in interviewing the industry's biggest stars. Based in Hollywood, she's worked with many of the top news outlets, including ABC News, BBC News, E!, and Sky News, to name a few. The media-savvy Murphy has been up close and personal with about 15,000 of the most famous celebrities and newsmakers in the world. She says, "I can probably count on one hand the number of stars in the business and entertainment I haven't talked to. I love what I do, and to the amazement of my friends and colleagues, I never get tired of it because it's always fascinating to hear people's stories." Murphy has taken what she knows about crafting a great story that the media and the consumer can devour and put it to work for the average business executive, corporate spokesperson, creative entrepreneur, author, expert, or inventor. As a media expert, she can tell you what makes a great news story, a killer pitch, how to successfully work with the media, what they really want from an interview, and how to create killer sound bites and pitches. It's that expertise that motivated her to write her book, Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. If anyone knows what sells in the media and how to sell it when creating savvy messages about business, products, services, and careers, it's Gail Murphy, the celebritizer. Welcome to the call, Gail.
Thank you so much. This is so great. Thank you. I'm excited to talk to people and hear their questions.
Well, we've gotten a lot of questions from people, Gail. I think about 80 questions here, and we've only got 70 minutes, so we've got a lot of material to cover here, but just to give people a basis here, sort of where you're coming from, give me some idea. How in the world did you get started doing all this?
Well, I started in local radio here in Los Angeles. Actually, I started as a stand-up comedian at the Comedy Store, but I did that at night while I put myself through radio school. I started in local radio here at a small rock station and out in Pasadena called K-Rock. From there, I went to a couple of other stations and wound up at KLOS, where I spent 19 years as the only on-location rock and roll reporter in L.A. One of the coolest things for me as an entrepreneur and as I was guiding my business was that the radio station that I worked for was owned by the network, ABC News. So they didn't have anyone really on the West Coast at that time. So about 2 weeks after I got there, I was a network correspondent because they would pay me $25 for a story or $25 to do an interview with some celebrity that I was totally in love with, which turned out really fantastic. and then that network got sold, and I was sort of at a turning point. I thought, you know what? I have interviewed so many people along the way that just changed my life. They had a great product. They had a great service. They had a great business model. And not everyone I was interviewing was a celebrity or a musician or somebody, you know, who, you know, put out a photography book. I mean, I remember one of the first interviews I did was a guy who was a doctor. He was an ER doctor, but he played rock and roll music on the side with a bunch of other doctors. I think they had a band called The Doctors, actually. And so that was the story they wanted me to cover. And that was my first time that I ever realized that you didn't have to be a celebrity to go into the media, you just had to create something that was interesting to people. Was he the best rock and roller? No. Was he the best doctor? Yes. This was a guy that was saving people's lives, but he also had the opportunity to entertain them at the same time. And there was a very interesting story there. So I looked at what I did, and I said, you know what? If I could change the world in some way, which wouldn't actually involve too much work on my part, basically I would teach people how to really talk about their business, product, and service. Because many times I sat down with people to interview them, and even big stars, and they were so unprepared, they would go on endlessly. They didn't really know why they were there. But most importantly, they didn't know what the media wanted from them. And because they didn't really know what the media wanted from them, they had no idea how to deliver it. So they were nervous, they were anxious, and they should have been. I mean, and that's right. So I basically wrote my book, Interview Tactics, teaching people what the job of the media is so that you could give it to them. It's like playing tennis. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to go play tennis with a world champion.
No.
But if I am a world champion, I do want to play tennis with a world champion. I just kind of want to have some insight into what I'm getting. So let me just finish this right here. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So there are just very specific rules of the road, and that's what I put in my book.
Well, that's terrific, and I loved your book, and I think it's very, very valuable information for people. But how, you know, if you're just starting out here and you don't, you know, many of the questions we got were from first-time authors or people that don't have a lot of experience with the media. Gail, they've not been interviewed a lot by the media. So how is it you know what sells in the media? How do you determine what that is?
Well, obviously what sells in the media is what people want to hear, what solves problems for them or what media or what is interesting to people, because at the end of the day, the media or the news business is in the business of the news. You know, they're not necessarily in the business of making sales for you. They're not necessarily in the business of making you look good. They're in the business of news and delivering products that people will find of interest so that they'll buy from their advertisers. And so that's a really important thing to keep in mind. But just to back up for a second here, the fact is that if you have a business, product, or service, you're being interviewed all the time anyway. And maybe you're not doing it as well as you can be or should be doing it. At the end of the day, you're always going to be asked, who are you? What are you selling? Why do I need it? What problem does it solve for me? And how can I get it? So you're doing it anyway, and especially with the explosion in social media. You know, 10 years ago when I wrote the first edition of Interview Tactics, you know, the media was radio, TV, magazines, newspapers, and people in the production of. But in 2012, we are our own broadcast networks. We are message generators. So I redefined media in this revised vision version of Interview Tactics as anyone or anything that has the ability to take your message and move it forward. So if you're tweeting, if you're online, you're sending out emails, you're doing interviews anyway.
Sure. So if someone is, you know, is going to be interviewed by the media,
yeah.
What kind of strategy do they need to have? Can't they just wing it with whatever the reporter wants to ask them, or should they take control?
Well, first of all, you can wing it, but why would you want to? Why would you leave yourself that open? I mean, you are not, you know, buying a Happy Meal at McDonald's. You're in a very specific function that you're serving, and that is to get the word out about who you are and what you're selling and what problem it solves for the people that buy your product. And it could be something as simple as making them feel better, motivating them to think about a specific subject, or providing safety for them and their families. So you really need to focus on that. You can wing it, but you don't want to be driving home or walking around the next day going, wow, I didn't say this, I didn't say that. So the way in which you do that is, you really want to break it down, who's my target market? Who am I talking to? Who buys my business? Who buys what I sell? And how do I make life better for them? So you have sound bites and you have talking points. And we'll talk a little bit further, if you like, about what sound bites are and what talking points are. But
how would you define a sound bite? What is that? And do you write that out ahead of time, for example?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. And we'll talk about how you can create your own. But the definition of sound bites, according to me, is a brief and outstanding mini version of who you are and what you're selling. All this is in the book, but I'll just say it again for those of you that are taking notes. A soundbite is a brief and outstanding mini version of who you are and what you're selling. So it's really important that you have a collection or a group or just a series of short, spurty, wordy definitions of who you are and what you're selling, because that's how people take in information right now. You can always add more on the back end. So it's really important to have some sound bites, because that is the food that the media thrives on. So I'll use myself as an example. I call myself the celebritizer. That is my 1 second sound bite. So here we are on the phone. I know a lot of the people on this call are authors. Well, let's just call them creative entrepreneurs. So if somebody asks me what I do, I say, I can say I'm the celebritizer, but wouldn't it be better for me if I said that I celebritize creative entrepreneurs?
Sure.
And maybe if most of the people that were on this call were into real estate, I would say I celebritize people in real estate. If it was mostly musicians, I'd say I celebritize musicians. It is okay to have a variety of different target markets in each one of the sound bites that you have. Now, in some cases, a sound bite and a pitch is the same thing. A pitch is what hooks people in. If your sound bite has a hook, it's even better, because then it becomes memorable and it can go viral. You could tweet it out to someone. You could tell someone, gee, I just heard this wild woman on this radio program. She was fantastic. She's the celebritizer. Great. I like it. They could say, go ahead.
You're thinking about these people that are interviewing you, and you're proactively thinking ahead about their audience, and your talking points are for that audience, is what you're saying.
When you get a call and from someone either who has a blog or someone who has a TV show or whatever, and they say, we'd like to have you on the show, you have to say to them, what is it that you'd like for me to talk about? What would you like to cover? What is it specifically that you'd like to cover? Because at the end of the day, they're really not going to have you on the air that long. They may have you on for a half hour, but sometimes a half hour goes by in about 2 seconds.
Sure.
So you want to say, who's listening to your program? I mean, radio is just very broken up demographically. I mean, the same people that listen to Rush Limbaugh are certainly not the same people that listen to Howard Stern.
Right.
So you probably would not have the same generic guest that you have on Howard Stern that you would have on Rush Limbaugh. So it's really important that you also educate yourself. Who listens to this? Who are they? Who are the demographics of these people? And typically you can find them out.
Wow, that sounds great.
So you really want to be prepared. You don't
just wing it.
No, don't just wing it. And you know what? The majority of the time someone has you on your show, on their show, or wants to write about you in their blog, they've Googled you. Google them. You guys might actually have some commonality. You might have actually been from the same city or went to the same school. So it's really important to have some commonality, because that's when people invest in you emotionally.
Sure.
That's really important.
Well, great advice. And so do I need to be a celebrity to get interviewed?
Well, it depends upon how you define celebrity. If you just want to think of a celebrity as a movie star or a musician, where do you put Michael Jordan? So you might be a celebrity in your business. Or where do you put the guy who owns five car dealerships in your town and has that whole business locked up, and you see him doing commercials late at night? you know, he's a celebrity too. So you may be a celebrity in your particular genre. So
right.
You need to be a celebrity. What I do is I'm the celebritizer, and I celebritize people, giving them businesses, giving them the same savvy tactics that superstars in business and entertainment use to celebritize themselves and their brands. So basically, I teach you how to celebritize yourself. So
wow, that's fabulous.
The two words that go with that are expertise and celebritize.
Wow, that's really great. Now, if you're listening to this on the replay or the live telewebcast, you will see that there's a big button right in the middle of the screen that says get your copy of Interview Tactics. I would encourage you to do that after the call. It opens up another window in your browser, and you'll be able to see the book that Gail's talking about, Interview Tactics. Get this book. I really do encourage you to do that. It's a great book. And a ton of practical information. Mine is all marked up, and I love what she's got here. It'll help you way beyond this particular time that we have together, and it'll be very valuable information for you. So Gail, if I'm going to be interviewed by the media, it depends on the type of media, I know, but do I have four talking points, or do I have 10, or what do you really encourage people to do in that area?
Well, first, what you want to do is you want to talk to the producer, the person who actually called you, and the producer could also be the host. You might ask them, why is it they called you? Was it based on a press release you just issued? So if they, depending upon what they say, will let you know kind of what they want to talk about, or almost specifically what they want to talk about. They may want to take what you do and connect it to a holiday that's happening, and they think, you know, let's say you're a dating expert for people over 50. They want to book you now for Valentine's Day. But they call you and say, we want to have you on the show. So you call them back and you say, gosh, I'd love to be on the show. What are we doing? Where do you want to go with this? And they say, well, you know, we wanted to book you early. It's for Valentine's Day. Well, immediately you know where to go in your own arsenal of stuff. And then you ask them, how much time do I have? How much time will you need me for? And if they say, well, you know, we're very crunched and we have 5 or 6 other experts on that day, you have 3 to 5 minutes, which is fine with you because you know what your talking points are. It's like just going through an old trunk and pulling stuff out, what you need, what makes it work for you. And then you might say to them, well, you know, I have a couple of ideas. Because you might have a couple of ideas based on your talking points, and you'll throw it back to them because because they're calling you to be on the show, and just because they have a show, and just because they're producing a show doesn't necessarily make them a genius. That's why they're calling you. The reason why you get booked on a show is to make your host look smart. And I mean,
wow, that's great.
That's really what it is. Your job is to make the person that's interviewing you look good. So you want to help them. You want to help them along the way. Tell them what you've got. Tell them what you're working on. Because you don't want to be sitting there the next day and say, oh, gee, I forgot to mention I just won the Nobel Prize for Peace because they wanted to talk about Valentine's Day.
Sure. Well, what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they do these interviews?
One of the biggest mistakes people make when they do interviews is that they think it's about them. It's not. It's about the story. It's about the show. It's about the blog. And it's about the people that watch that show or read that blog. So you have to be very clear about what problem do you solve for people. Do you make it easier for them to pick out clothes in a wardrobe? Do you make it easier for them to pick out, you know, healthier foods in the supermarket? Are you the one that best advises them on the best time to work out and the most effective workout that they can use? So you have to make it about them. And by asking the questions about, who are your viewers, who are your listeners, what's your demographic, you can figure that out. If it's mostly people over 50, then you're not going to teach them, how to be a college student and buy, fruit in the store that's good for you on a budget.
Sure. Well, it sounds like too many people, if they're not prepared, just kind of wing it, and then they wander all over the place, and they don't come out of it with the focused kind of story that they should.
You have to think about it like the Super Bowl. You got to bring your A game. And one of the things I do is I teach you how to find your A game. What is your A game? If I say to you, okay, right now, in this moment, what is your A game? And you go, you need a coach.
You need a coach.
Seriously. Because there could be someone that you have been trying to reach for months and suddenly that you see them, at an event somewhere. You got to be ready. It's showtime. It is showtime. All the time you have a business, product, or service, first of all, you're using the media anyway. If you have an iPhone or Android phone where you can get everything all in your hand at one time, if you're one of those people that checks their email and their tweets and their texts before their feet even hit the floor, well, you're doing media before your eyes even open in the morning, before your feet hit the floor, So,
sure.
But you need to do it with a very specific intention. Because, you work so hard, you're up till 2 o'clock in the morning working on your product, working on your business. You're the one that has to generate those messages. The good news is, Terry, we live in a do-it-yourself world, DIY. I mean, with YouTube, with Twitter, with Facebook, finding people is so easy. That's the good news. It's a do-it-yourself world. Wow! The bad news, Terry, it's a do-it-yourself world. You got to do it yourself, okay? So you have to think of it as media because that's what it is, especially the World Wide Web. It's way more exposure than your local TV show. You got to think about LinkedIn. You got to think about those groups. You got to think about what am I putting out there. And you know what? One of the things that I always, people say to me, well, just give me a free tip right now. Anyone who's in the sound of our voices right now is within 10 miles of a chamber of commerce somewhere. Chambers of commerce are created and are one of the things they do is to bring businesses together regardless of what your business is. They have events all the time. If you're in a city like Phoenix or a city like Los Angeles, there's at least 4 or 5 of them. Well, in L.A., there's like 10 within 20 miles. So you could be going to 3 different networking meetings a week if you want. A night if you wanted to. If you wanted to. Doing media is a muscle. Get out there. People are going to ask you the same thing they're going to ask you at a networking meeting, then they're going to ask you in an interview, who are you? Who are you? I'm the celebritizer. Who are you? What are you selling? I teach people how to use the media in their business. Why does somebody that I don't know need it? Because you got to tell it to sell it. If you can't talk about who you are and what you do, you're in for a bit of a rocky road. Where can I get it? Go to my website, interviewtactics.com. Buy a book and I'll sign it for you. That's it. But you have to fill in the blanks. I have a 5-part workbook in the back of the book that actually teaches you how to do that.
Yeah, no, the workbook in the back is really great because that's what people need in order to be able to think through these different issues that you're talking about so that they really are prepared and have these talking points together. Well, we've got tons of questions here, Gail, so let's get to some of these. Sharon asked, how do I deal with the pre-interview jitters?
Well, you know what? The pre-interview jitters, it all depends. Are you going to throw up or are you just nervous? I'm nervous about my product all the time, but in a good way. I'm anxious to get the message out there. Since we already determined that we're doing media anyway, you have to take your attention off of that and just decide that it's really no different. Actors get a chance to do that all the time. But don't put that heavy burden on yourself by saying, oh, wow, this is different. It's not different. You are there to make the host of your look, the host of that show look good and really smart for picking you to be the one to impart information to their audience. So you're on a team. You're not out really especially out there. I mean, we're talking about businesses here. We're talking about books. We're not talking about Watergate, you know. We're not talking about the, I mean, and that's not to dismiss that or say things are controversial, but at the end of the day, the majority of interviews and interviewing that goes on has to do with businesses, products, and services. So you can make a huge drama out of it if you want to, or you can just take a couple of breaths, chill out, and remind yourself, I worked really hard on this. And I did it because I'm here to make the world a better place in some way. So let me just get out there and kick it.
Well, now,
and bring your energy with you.
Yeah, that's really great. That they need to absolutely do that, and that'll get them over those pre-interview jitters, that's for sure.
Well, you have sound bites and you have talking points. Let them do the work for you.
Now, what is the best way? I think this is a question that Rick is really getting into. He says, do I say my web address in my first turn of speaking in case I don't get a second chance? And so I guess the real question here, it seems to me, that he's asking is how do I weave the fact that I've written a book or that I've got a product or something into the conversation without being a nuisance? Because if you're in the media, that's kind of a no-no, isn't it? A sense to be saying your product or your web address every time you answer a question. So
well, every show is different, but typically it is frowned upon. If you're doing TV, they'll usually have what's called the chyron underneath you, which says your name and says author of. And so people will know you have a book. Typically at the end of your segment when you're doing TV, they'll say, if you want to know more information, we have it all on the website. And if someone is compelled to know more about you, typically they'll either go to that website or they have Googled you by that time. So it's a lot easier now than it used to be 10 years ago. It's, you know, I'll just give you a little tip about one of the things that I do. I'm sure you're like me. I get so much email, you know, go to this awesome seminar, go to this person. They only visit the planet Earth once every 10 years, and they're going to be here, and it's, you know, $2,000 to go. I go to LinkedIn. I look them up on LinkedIn. And I send them a LinkedIn request. Typically, if we belong to the same group, it's easier because you just click group. Obviously, if I don't have their email address, that's not going to work. But you know, I try to get to them that way.
And is there so there's protocol? I mean, do you prepare a story to really emphasize that and weave into that story the title of your book, or what kind of?
Well, you have the same story. It's just you don't want to tell the same story every single solitary time that you do an interview.
Right.
You know, if people are following you, it's like seeing a comedian on a nighttime show and they're on three or four shows in a month and they do the same routine. It's like, oh, well, I already know that joke.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is, one of the things I talk about in my book is the idea of wrapping. And what that means, if somebody says, so tell me who's the most exciting person that you ever interviewed? So rather than just say the person's name, the wrapping is you wrap the question, when you answer the question, you wrap the question in it. So if you say to me, who's the most exciting celebrity you ever met? I might say to you, wow, the most exciting celebrity I ever met is such and such a person. And not only that, it's a complete sentence. But if you say to me, so tell me what made you, what compelled you to write your book, I might say, well, what compelled me to write my book, Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered. Or I might just say, what compelled me to write my book, Interview Tactics. So every time I refer to my book, not every time, but at least one or two times, I say the name of my book. And I don't say the whole complete name.
Wow, that's really great. Great.
So I might say in my book, Interview Tactics. But be very, very economical with that. Because I don't want people emailing me and saying, you said it, I could say it 10 times, and they threw me off the show. Don't say it 10 times. And you were only on for 3.5 minutes? No, don't do that.
No, you don't want to be a nuisance. You want to be a really great guest so that they do want you back to the show over and over and over again. So I think there's a lot of wisdom there in what you've said to people. So if you're listening to this on the replay or whether you're listening to the live broadcast right now, I really do encourage you to, you know, hit that button that's got the red around it there that says Get Interview Tactics, because you're going to get a lot of information. Also, there's this whole workbook area that Gail has in the back of her book, which is a really valuable thing to think through. What are your talking points? What are the key messages that you want to get across to the audience when you talk to the media? And if you just work through that, you'll be way ahead of all the other people out there that are doing media interviews just because you've taken the time and thoughtfully work this through ahead of time. So I just can't say enough really great things about this book that Gail has put together here, Interview Tactics.
And also, I'll autograph the book for you.
Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. That'd be great. that makes it a real keeper right there. Now, you know, Tabitha asked, how do you give out enough about your product during the interview without giving the whole thing away for free?
Well, first of all, you really want to focus on certain areas of what you're going to be giving up. The fact is, if you were teaching what you were doing, you might be able to say, let's say you were teaching someone how to build a house. Let's just say you were talking about the foundation. So you might say, well, first you lay the foundation. Well, you could do 2 weeks on what it takes to lay a foundation and the materials and so on. If somebody wants what you have, they're not going to be able to get enough of you. But what you might really want to do is that I think is really helpful, make a list of 10 things and make it generic, because that's all you can really do overall, because everyone is, you know, so unique. Make a list of 10 things about your business, product, and service that makes you unique. Or make a list of 10 things about what you teach or what you coach or what your message is that is either a rules of the road or makes you unique. I think rules of the road would be best. I mean, I could tell you a soundbite is a brief and outstanding mini version of who you are and what you're selling. But if I don't explain what that looks like, what that sounds like, and how to put that together, you're going to have to come to me. You're going to have to come to me for that. And also, we have a huge paradigm shift because, you know, for the last 200 years, it's like, look, if you want me to tell you anything, you have to pay me. It doesn't work like that because social media, the rules of social media is that you give stuff away and that you give enough away that the good news is you become the go-to person. Bad news is you might lose one sale, but you gain 30. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
That's great. That's great advice there. Now, you know, we got another question that is really pretty basic for a lot of authors are wondering this. How do they even get the media to interview them in the first place?
Well, if you're just starting out, there's a lot of free stuff out there. There's Haro, Helper Reporter Out, which is an outreach that comes out 3 times a day. You can go to haro.com, H-A-R-O, sign up, and you get these newsletters, and it's different media outlets asking for points of view, commentary, stories based on a story that a journalist, a writer, a blogger, a TV show is looking for. And you can, it's very labor intensive, but you can go through that and see what you can comment on. And I personally have gotten some fantastic placements based on that. And so
like what have you gotten from Haro, for example?
Well, I got a whole page interview on smallbusinesstrends.com. I got on entrepreneurmagazine.com. I wound up giving them a whole chapter of my book, and they put it online. It lived there for like a year or two.
Wow.
Just, you know, I sent them a compelling enough pitch that I was able to get them. I was able to get the woman on the phone, and once we got talking, she realized that, you know, I was a little bit more than what she had thought. And when I told her I had the book, I decided that Entrepreneur Magazine was enough for me to just send her the ebook. So I just sent her the ebook. And I mean, if she didn't use it for this, she might use it for something else. And she said, you know, I love the book, and I love that, you know, my chapters are quite small. She asked, they're like 3 to 5 pages. She asked if she could just, copy and paste one of the chapters. I said, I would be thrilled. I would be thrilled to do that. And so I did it, and I'm actually still talk to her all the time.
So Haro is a great source. So
it's a great resource.
That's haro.com. Is that where people find it?
Yeah, and then you can also you could also find the blogs that are most applicable to your demographic, to your target markets, and you can send them a pitch. But a lot of those people advertise in Haro, and then there's. Let's see, Bill Harrison has one. It popped out of my mind. I believe it's the Radio Connection.
Yes.
He's got one, and that's a good one, and that's also an outreach. I mean, there's a lot out there. I'm not kidding. It's very labor-intensive, and that's when you're first starting out. If you've already done a couple things and you've got something going, the paradigm of publicity is changing a little bit. You have a lot of people that are out on their own that are PR specialists and PR experts that are selling their services on an hourly or daily basis, and that's really great. You can actually send pitches out to your local newspaper, but, you know, every media outlet today has an online component. And the irony of it is that sometimes they're looked at as stepchildren, but their reach is far greater than the other is. Hook up with a writer that you like on Twitter and just start, you know, we talked earlier about giving away free stuff. You can't give away that much in 140 characters.
Yeah, right.
But you can link them back to your, you put your website in there. And if that person links back to you, then you put at Terry Whalen or at Gail Murphy or at that person at the L.A. Times or the Phoenix Sun or Chronicle or whatever your paper is over there. And you have to create relationships.
The Arizona Republic is our paper over here. But
I'm going to find out who your entertainment reporter is right away.
Well, When you break down the media here, you know, that's a big generic term. Gail, how would you, how do you determine what media outlet's the most important? There's a question like Dan asked, whether it's print or internet or radio, what do people go after and what do you advise them to do there?
Well, you know, it's all relative. Obviously, if you're selling, you know, the 5 years ago, the big cookie was Oprah. But if you're selling airplanes, it's not a big cookie to you. It isn't even a crumb. But if you're selling shoes and handbags, it is the big banana. It's the bonanza. It's all relative to who you are and what you're selling. I mean, there used to be a list that used to go around about if you want to get on Oprah, you know, to sell something that has to do with pets or weight loss or health or something like that. What is the most important? It's, you know, if you have a Twitter list of over a million, I know it sounds funny, but it's true. If you are close to a million, you can pretty much call the shots in terms of where you want to be, because if somebody interviews you, that's a million eyeballs that are going to take you, that are going to read whatever they write about you instantaneously.
Sure.
And each one wants something different from you. You know, for TV, you have to dial up a little bit. You have to say, okay, all right, okay, wait a second. How do I want the world to see me? Because you have this whole body here, which could be a walking billboard for yourself, which doesn't mean that you wear logos on you, but how do I want the world to see me? Obviously, you know, if you're a venture capitalist or some big, you know, finance person, you don't want them to see you, you know, as a sex kitten. I mean, how do I want the world to see me that when you see me, you see what I do in some way? So that's television always has that visual component to it. Any kind of video that you do has that visual component. You would never see someone on a musician's site doing video who looked like a librarian, unless they had a band called The Librarians.
That's true.
So you want to stop and say, you know, how do I want the world to see me? Print is a little bit different because it's not live, so and so you can stop and start, typically. In print, which also includes blogs, specificity, because print loves a story. They love a story. Radio, listening, very, very much listening, especially if you're doing morning radio, very, very high energy. I mean, you're lucky if they're going to remember to say your name. And that's okay, too, because they're probably going to put it up on the on their website that you're going to be on the show.
And by high energy, what do you mean by that? People need to, I mean, I've heard other people say, you know, stand up on the phone when you're doing interviews on radio, or what do you really suggest? How do you pour that energy into the radio so that it indeed really comes out?
Well, first of all, you have to determine what works for you. If you're doing morning radio, if you get booked to do a morning radio show and you haven't listened to that show for a week or two prior to going on that show, don't call me on the way home, because I don't want to hear about it. Your job is to know who is interviewing you and how they work. National Public Radio, National Enquirer. If you can't suss that out before you go on, do not go on. I mean, I've been booked for interviews on morning radio shows, and I listen to them online, and it's like, there's no way I'm doing that. I got kicked off of a radio show somewhere in Maine one time because they got really salacious, and I called them on it. I thought to myself, first of all, I'm in Maine. Forgive me for anyone listening who might be in Maine. But it's like, I am not throwing myself under the bus for you. I don't even know you, and I don't even like you, I'm thinking to myself. If I'm going to throw myself, I'm never, you know what, Terry, I'm never going to throw myself under the bus, because I'm just not going to put myself in that kind of situation. So you really want, I mean, it's prepare in advance and know what you're going to say before you say it. Know where you're going. You wouldn't drive from L.A. to Phoenix without a map. Know where you're going. Google the person that's interviewing you. Listen to the show. Read their blogs. Watch their videos. If it's not a good for you, don't sell yourself short.
You've given us a lot of really great insight there, Gail. And there's a lot more for you if you buy a copy of Gail's book, Interview Tactics. And you'll see on her website she has an ebook version. She has the book. You know, whatever's going to be good for you, but get that book and really go through it and go through the workbook there. That'll be a very valuable part. Now, you know, Cassandra asked here, how do you promote yourself without sounding like an opportunist? And I think that's a good question. So,
Sandra, we are all opportunists. Okay? But if I am looking to buy what you are selling, you have just become my angel. So when you say, ask a question like, how do I sound like an opportunist?
Yeah,
that
promote myself without sounding like an opportunist?
It means you don't believe in yourself. And you don't, that's what it says to me, is you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe in your product and you don't believe in your service. If you have a business, product, or service, you very well know what problem you solve for people, even if it's making them feel good. That is a very nice calling. So you walk into a room, you know why you're there. If you know why you're there and you know what you're supposed to do, you will never sound like an opportunist because they want to hear from you. People want to hear from you. That's why they call you. But see, by going to lots of networking meetings and going to and meeting a lot of people and talking about your business, product, or service to the point of exhaustion, you will start learning how to read people. None of this stuff comes, you know, by osmosis. You have to start learning how to read people. So you'll know where to tighten up your pitch. You know where you're being a little bit too economical. You have to get in the flow. That's my new deal for 2012, the flow.
Get in the flow, huh?
Being in the flow, staying in the flow, having the flow, just knowing that you are reading the tea leaves correctly and you are there because you're supposed to be there. You know, there's no accidents in the universe. You're talking about your business, product, and service. Obviously, they want to know more about it. If you're into automotives and an automotive magazine or show or blog calls you, obviously they want to hear about a better way to clean your tires if that's what you do. You can't sit there and go, well, I don't want to sound like an opportunist. That's why they called you?
Now, is it, Eileen asked a question here. Is it possible to get on a TV talk show without paying a PR professional? Who's the right person to contact, and what's a good way to find that correct contact information?
You know what? Depends upon how much time you have to spend. And what I mean by that is a professional PR person has all that stuff at their fingertips. So you're paying for their time. You're paying for their time and you're paying for their expertise because they know why one show is better than another show, and typically they know what the demographics are. But if time is not a problem for you and you can do it, well, you can certainly put yourself, you know, in the queue. But if you want to do a major market, an Ellen or Piers Morgan, it's unlikely that even those shows would take a pitch from someone, outside their game. That said, and this is really important, you really need to remember this, who gets famous and who doesn't get famous has little or nothing to do with talent, sometimes. Because fame can be very arbitrary. Why one person becomes famous and another one doesn't? And if you don't believe it, I have two words for you, Terry. You ready?
Ready.
Susan Boyle.
True.
This is a woman who won the X Factor and now has sold more records than the Beatles, practically. This woman is over 50 from a small town in Scotland, and she went on the X Factor in the UK, and she's probably the third largest seller of records on the planet right now.
Wow.
That was the first time when she went on that show, that was the first time she'd ever sang in public since her mother had passed away. And
wow.
She had spent, you know, like the first 50 years is taking care of her mother. Why she became, if you don't know who Susan Boyle is, you have to get on YouTube and you must Google her video and watch her on the show. Her life changed in about 35 seconds. But there's only one Susan Boyle. You know, Justin Bieber was a YouTube baby. The Ellen Show found him on YouTube. That wow. and several other things. I mean, he was, you know, hooked up with Usher, but you can't really, you know, we're business people. So we're in it for the journey. And so if that happens to us, that's the most awesome thing in the world. But we, so it's okay to, it is totally okay to think that everything's going to turn on a dime, but you never want to give up the, you know, what they call the day job.
So, you know, there's a number of other people here ask Gail, how do you get, you know, there are really a number of people here are interested in how to get the media to interview them. So, you know, how to find these media interviews. Maybe they're an independent author. They don't have a PR person. So they're just trying to figure out who do they pitch? Do they pitch the radio producers? You spent years in radio. So do they call the radio producer and pitch their thing, or what do they do?
Well, one of the cool things, if you're a first time author, what's really great is there are so many blogs for authors that want guest bloggers. That is the media. You look at Huffington Post. That's a blog. I mean, mm-hmm. She sold it for $243 million. Perez Hilton. That's a blog. That is legitimate media in this day and age. That is legitimate media. If you're a first-time author, there are so many blogs out there that are looking for guest bloggers. You can certainly start by just narrowing it down to two or three blogs that you would just do anything to be aligned with those people and start responding to some of the articles. It's a process. Nothing happens overnight. Start responding and commenting to some of those and to start building a relationship with the person who has the that blog. You build a relationship with them. Start your own blog, for goodness sake. And get that out there using social networking. If you have a concise, clear message and you know specifically who you are and what you're selling, people will find you.
Yeah, people just don't take action on that kind of thing, Gail. So that's really great advice. Now, there's a number of people that have written novels here. So how do they get the media interested in their novel? What would be their interview tactic, I guess, that they would take?
Well, the first thing is, because we're always talking about our business, product, and service wherever we are, real life and online, you really want to know specifically, what is this book about? Who is my target market? Who do I want to sell to? Is it for teenagers? Is it for adults? Is it mostly for men? What's the demographic of this? And then go after the places that cover specifically, that's it. You know, if you can spend $5,000 to $8,000 a month, you can get a really incredible publicist. Well, maybe for $10,000, but for $5,000 to $8,000, you can get a publicist that pretty much knows what you're doing. If you have a regular publisher, your publisher will typically, you know, set something up for you for your first round of interviews if you're really lucky. What you want to do is stay in touch with the people that have interviewed you and let them know what you're up to. You want to use every bit of media that's out there to consistently promote yourself. You know, there's 10,000 radio stations in the United States, and not all of them are in big markets.
And so if I was going to do something in radio, Gail, what would I come up with a tight pitch and then call the radio producer and pitch myself?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have a book on dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Valentine's Day is coming up. What's your hook? So if you have a radio station that you want to be on, a specific show on a specific radio station, who's their target market? Is it mostly singles? Okay, that's good. That's good for you. Is it mostly women, 18 to 25? Okay, so what's the biggest problem women have in that demographic, 18 to 25? How do you find a guy? If you're a dating expert, you pretty much know how to find a guy. So that's what you pitch them on, because that's the kind of station that their demographic is typically women 18 to 25. You don't just wake up in the, you know, one morning and the media is calling. You know, I loved that movie with Amy Adams and Meryl Streep, where she writes the recipe book, and it's Julia Child, and the book comes out, and then she has like 51 interview requests on her voice machine the next day.
Yeah.
I loved it and I hated it. I loved it because they put it in there, so it must have happened, so I have to believe that it happened. But I hated it because I don't want people to think that that's how it is. You know, this is an exception to every rule. And if that happens for you, that's great. But you can't set yourself up for that kind of extreme. But if you get a good publicist or a good media expert who deals in publicity, the good news is that, you know, most people don't know the difference between PR and advertising. PR is third-party endorsement, so you don't have to pay for it. If you get interviewed by a blog or a radio station, you'd probably have to pay about $1,000 a minute.
Yeah, but if you arrange the interview and they interview you, then that's free.
Yeah, exactly. That's free.
That's terrific.
There's a lot of resources out there.
And one of the best resources that I've found here is Interview Tactics. Gail's book has a lot of really terrific information, because you have to tell it to sell it. And she's got all that down in there to help you work through what are your talking points, what are the key things that you want to get across for your book. Now, or your product or your service. And so if you're listening to this on the replay or on the live cast here, I really encourage you to push that button and get Gail's book, Interview Tactics, because I have found it to be a really extremely valuable book in this whole process, because so many people out there just kind of wing it when the media interviews them, and you really need to be prepared is one of the key points here Gail has been going over. Now, Gail, we're kind of running toward the end here. We're not there yet, but we're getting here, and I wonder if you could tell us, is there a horror story that comes to mind of when you interviewed somebody that they just had no idea how to get you what you needed when you interviewed them?
Well, one of the things that I talk about in Interview Tactics is I teach people what the job of the media is. My job as a media person is to interview you and present you to the rest of the world. So I would have to know that you were from Phoenix. I would have to know that you were a male. I would have to know that you're over 25. I would have to present you with, I would have to use some information, because it's really about, you know, you want to paint a picture with your words. You want to use color and detail, and you want to drop me in there so that I can, you know, I'm going on this journey with you. So, I lost my train of thought there. Ask me that question again.
So when you do your interview, what is some of the worst,
the horror stories. I know why I was setting that up. for some reason or another, I was doing some interviewing this young 17-year-old actor for some movie that they had just done, and for I think it was one of the big studios they had done, and they decided that they were going to do all the interviews on a beach in Malibu, which is terrible if you're recording radio because you can't hear the person talk. You can only hear the ocean in the background.
Sure.
And I had probably done about 6 or 7 interviews before I drove all the way out to Malibu, and we interviewed this kid, and I don't even remember his name. We had to wait the longest time for him to come out there, and it was like they made such a big deal out of it, and he did so not want to be there. And, I mean, as soon as I saw that, as soon as he opened his mouth, I knew I wasn't going to get anything from him because all one-word answers and everything. So, you know, you start to go back to the old arsenal. Okay, what are my stock questions? So what are you doing next? Oh, I'm doing a really big movie with a whole bunch of really big stars. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's always a disaster when you don't use color and you don't use detail.
Sure.
I mean, I get a lot of requests from a lot of these young stars to teach them how to work the red carpet. Well, what are they going to ask you on the red carpet? Well, the most amount of time anyone's going to get with you is about 2 minutes. So they want to know how it feels to be there. And just don't say awesome. They're going to want to know who designed your outfit. So know the name of the designer. And if you have a quick story about what it was like meeting the person, or maybe they flew in from France, I don't know, something, and then what you're working on. If you're doing a movie with Al Pacino or Brad Pitt or the guys from Twilight, say their names and say the name of the movie, as long as the papers have been signed. And then you're on to the next one. So the one that really comes to me was having to go through all of this to interview this young actor, and it was like, I've got a big movie coming up with a lot of big stars.
Nothing specific.
Nothing specific at all, because he doesn't know what I need. He thinks I'm there to actually talk to him. I'm really not there to actually talk to him. I'm there to receive a story that I can then take and format for radio, so I can get the word out about him or his project.
So I would be really wise, if you're going to interview me, to think through a number of different stories that I could tell you that would really illustrate whatever topic of my book that I have, so that I'm really entertaining, I'm engaging, I have some key points of information that I'm getting across. But I'm also, at the end of the day, telling people that I have written a really great book that everybody needs to get.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you don't want to say that everybody needs to get. Tell me who everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's really not everybody, Terry.
Right.
It's really your target markets.
So that my target market, if I'm writing for, women that have been abused, then if they're in that kind of situation, they really need the product that I've put together.
Okay, so it's not for everyone because it's really not for men.
Right.
Okay? And it's really not for little kids.
No.
So it's not for them. So, really, it's not for everyone. So within that, it's for married women, it's for young girls in relationships, it's for older women who are in relationships or not. I mean, when you say abuse, do they have to know the person? Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I mean, these are the things you have to sort of pick through. I mean, go ahead.
Then have your stories or have your talking points prepared so that you really are ready to tell it, to sell it.
Well, you're a reporter too. I mean, I wasn't there with you all those hours that you spent doing research and writing your book. You're a reporter, too. What was it like? What was it like? What did you find out? How did it make you feel? Was it the day? Was it the night? Was it cold? Was it warm? Were the people nice? Were they forthcoming? Did you have to, like, you know, really pull it out of them? Or were they overwhelmed and relieved to be able to share this so that it doesn't happen to another person?
Some,
and those are the things that touch people
emotionally. It's hard to get that information out of people, but as an author, you have to be more forthcoming in order to be able to be ready to have the media interview you.
Well, yeah. I mean, you want to start really small, but you're doing it all the time anyway. I want the media to interview me, but the media is anyone or anything that has the ability to take your message and move it forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing it. The fact is that we're doing it anyway. So what's the difference? The difference is intention. You want to do it with intention. You want to be focused and you want to be on point. You know, I used to say to people all the time, okay, so you want to be on Oprah, you want to be on Oprah. Okay, Oprah's calling. What are you going to do? They did this study in England with teenagers. I think it was mostly girls, but I'm not sure. What do you really want to be when you grow up? I think they were like 14 to 17. 65% overwhelmingly said they just wanted to be famous. And when they went back and said famous for what, they didn't know.
Huh.
Now, if you asked me what I wanted to be and I said famous and you came back and asked me what, you know what? Don't kid yourself. I could tell you.
Interesting.
I tell people all the time when they want to be in the media, start watching the shows and the programs. Start watching the shows and listening to the programs and reading the blogs and the magazines that most likely will interview you. How do they do it? What is it? What's their focus? How do they present their information? If they were to call you in 3 hours from now, would you be ready to fill into their format? Because the way they present their magazine is highly tested. It's highly, highly tested. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not going to do that. It's a little bit out of our demo. No, but it is for the – well, that's not what you said. No, they already passed on it. So you are a reporter to reporting your story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a really great way. So now Gail, we're kind of coming to the end of our time here. If you had one key point that you'd like to really emphasize to tell people about interview tactics, what would that be?
Why they should get it or why it's important?
Yeah, I'm looking for one summary kind of statement from you about what they're going to get, about what they're going to get from interview tactics.
Well, I tell the story of the umbrella guy. Okay, why the umbrella guy is the guy who stands on the corner in the city when it's raining and has a killer day at work and sells out all of his umbrellas.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the umbrella guy so great? Because he's the top news story of the day. He's taken his business product and service and hooked it to the hottest product of the day, to the hottest story of the day. What's the hottest story of the day? The rain. That's why he gets to sell out. You need to know, if you're going to have a relationship with the media, you have to know what they're buying. You have to know, you know, it's like that old adage, if you want to fish, you go where the fish are. What are they eating? What does Sports Illustrated buy? What does Entrepreneur Magazine buy? What does Kiplinger's buy? If they're buying what you're selling, you have a match. You can pitch these people. And you don't have to start with the magazine. You can start with the website. Because you can actually get in touch with those people.
And the key to being able to survive the media without getting clobbered is to be prepared and not just go in there naively, think that you can wing it and succeed.
No, you have to prepare in advance. And the way to get people to emotionally invest in you is by being yourself and making your message about them. You have to make your message about the person that you solve the problem for. And you have to determine what's their pain. What's their pain? If you're a dry cleaner and you're trying to get new customers in your store, what's the problem of the people that are coming into your store? They want clean clothes. How can you clean clothes better than anybody else? And not only will I clean your clothes, but you will feel so much better. Sometimes it's just about making people feel better.
Well, boy, there's just tons of great information that's in Gail's book, Interview Tactics. I really strongly encourage you to do that. We've got tons of questions here. We've run through a bunch of them tonight. I think we're out of time, Gail. I really do appreciate you taking the time here to give us this information and help us out to understand how to handle the media.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Remember, you got to pitch it to promote it so you can tell it to sell it. And if you can't talk about who you are and what you do anytime, any place, anywhere, you're in for a bit of a rocky road. So you got to get out there. You got to get your talking points, your sound bites, and start exercising that media muscle and change the world.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Gail.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, everybody.